Hallelujah. I have zero preparation for tonight. All I know to do is kind of hitch our wagon to this morning's message, and we'll see where we go from there. So let's look again now at the Bible definition of the kingdom of God is at hand. So open with me to Mark 14. I want you to see it in your Bible. I about had a running fit this week when I saw this. I've been preaching it for years. I knew it, that it meant that it's at hand. When the kingdom of God is at hand, I knew if something is at hand, I can reach it, it's mine. But still, I had this, well, we got to confess it, and there's all, you got to believe you receive it and stand. And there is some of that sometimes. Boy, do I like this Bible definition of what it means to be at hand. So it's Mark 14. And really, it's an interesting thing. This is... Judas is coming with the squad that's going to arrest Jesus. But he uses that phrase. So we'll pick it up here in verse 41, Mark 14, 41. And he says, he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now stop for a moment. What if he said... By his stripes, you are healed. What if he, just anything that the word says, okay? He says, okay, I'm telling you something. The Son of Man is betrayed. You could say, by his stripes, you were healed. Just any promise. Then he says, rise up and let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me, now there it is at hand. And notice the next verse. There should not be no... Mine has a little paragraph thingy, like there's a next paragraph. No, no, no. Rise up, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. What does it mean to be at hand? And immediately, while he yet spake... Oh, my God. What? Immediately... The kingdom of God, everywhere Jesus went, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was trying to get it across to them, when I speak it, it's yours. Immediately, while I'm still speaking, you can have it now. Oh, my Lord. See, now I know why, and I didn't look it up, but when Paul was preaching later on, preaching the gospel, and he perceived a man that had faith to be healed. Wasn't it at Lystra? I think. Might have been Derby, but one of those. And he's preaching the gospel. And it says that man was hearing Paul preach. So Paul's preaching the gospel. The man's hearing the gospel. And then, at one point, Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Well, all the guy's been doing is listening to Paul. Whatever Paul was saying. And this guy was born a cripple, if I remember right. Now, born a cripple. Okay, I mean, you got a little time to be brain conditioned. If your whole life you've been a cripple, you've never known anything else. Yet whatever was in Paul's gospel, whatever he was preaching, caused this guy on the inside to go, I can be healed. And I can be healed right now. And immediately, while Paul was still speaking, he didn't even finish his message. He said, stand on your feet or something. I'll have to look it up, but rise. And the guy was healed instantly. That is the season we are in. We've actually been in it this whole time. We just didn't know it. We didn't know it. Well, that guy didn't know the kingdom of God was available to Paul. Preached it. Isn't that right? Sitting there, listening to him preach. Faith is coming. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, hearing Paul, hearing Paul. I can be healed right now. I can be healed. Right now. I can be healed right now. So when Paul gives the command, he's healed right now. Oh, my Lord. Now, see, that carries, with that thought, let me read you something again from, this is one of the prophecies of the nine. This one is the one that came on January 12th. Move out of my authority. Move out of my authority. And then on the second page of it, it says, let me find it again there. I've called you to go, hang on. This is the one that starts with, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. This one is all about working together with the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's all about the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. Paul was so working with the truth that the anointing of the Holy Spirit was there to heal a cripple born lame from his mother's womb. Now, come on. That's the real deal there. That's the real deal. Okay? And that's exactly what he's calling us to do, is to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that when we speak, it releases everything in heaven to accomplish the Father's will on planet Earth. So on the second page, I'm just going to read this whole paragraph here. It says, kings and priests I've called you to be. Yes, you'll lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, and that's part of the great outpouring. But part and much of the great outpouring is walking in a place where the anointing surrounds you, that it breaks all yokes. Your yoke that the enemy would fasten your life to with negative confessions and negative thoughts, we talked about that today, and a downward spiral, is broken by my presence and staying in my presence. That yoke is broken. As my word describes it positionally, then it is broken. Then in experience, it's broken for you as you tarry in my presence, says the Spirit of grace. But it is not meant that freedom that comes by that yoke being continually broken over your life and in your life is meant to be the experience. Let others be part of your communion. Serve communion to others, not just the breaking of the bread. He's not saying walk around with a wine cup and a piece of bread with you all the time. No. Serve communion to others, not just with the breaking of bread and of the juice of the fruit of the vine, but let them take communion of your life, imparting to them as they watch you in observance that your life is a life of freedom and peace. Now get this, and what you say comes to pass. Boy, he's been having us teach strong on that the last few weeks. What you say comes to pass in authority because you move out of a place of authority, saith the Spirit of grace. Impart. I have called you to go from house to house, from place to place. When you enter a room, it should light up. When you enter a place, no matter what the chaos. Do you remember when they brought Jesus, when Jesus came into the room where Jairus' daughter had died? They had professional mourners there. It says they were tumulting. You hire people to tumult. They were tumulting, okay? And really, they're professional mourners. And Jesus said, why do you weep? He said, the damsel's not dead, she's asleep. And it says they mocked him to scorn. You remember in the first psalm, that don't walk with the scorners? They scorn the word. When the word speaks, they scorn it. Okay? All right. Talk about walking into chaos. The daughter is dead. Tumulting is going on. Wailing and crying and weeping and all of this is going on. Jesus puts them all out of the room except the mother, the father, the dead girl, James, Peter, and John, if I remember right. And he just walks over and speaks. And the girl is raised from the dead. What he says comes to pass. And he is calling us to walk in that same thing. Right now I'm remembering a visit that Dave and I made together. Haven't we seen miraculous things through Pastor Dave Roberson? I thank God for all of the miracles and all of the healings and everything that we've seen. It's been a great encouragement to us. But there's been also other times, you know, Dave prayed. And there was a time that he and I went to visit a man. What's that thing when you shake? Parkinson's, yes, it was Parkinson's disease. Real nice fellow, Christian guy, went to his house. We spent about an hour there. And of course, I'm mainly in a situation. You know what wisdom is in a case like that when you're with Pastor Dave? Great wisdom is shut up. I'm Obi-Wan and the student. I am the student, okay? And I watched, and Dave did everything right. He was gentle. He was loving. He gave the word to this guy, and the guy was not against it at all. We were there at his invitation. He wanted help. He wanted to be healed. Now, the end result, when we left there, and I've checked on him later, I called the guy several times after, he did not get his healing. And I'm not even sure today if he's still alive. But that's been quite a few years ago. Now, those days are over. Do you hear me? They're just flat over. You can't be going back to that. And that's not the one situation. I have been in so many of these. See, and that's why I'm not against anybody that wants to go and do. I understand, okay? But I've already gone and not done. In other words, I've gone and tried. And I mean done it and done it and done it, and I've had a belly full of it, okay? And when he says, wait until you be endued with power, bless God, we're going to wait till we be endued with power. Because here it says, and I didn't finish reading it. Now listen, when you walk into a room, that's the room I remember. I remember me and Dave and I walking into that room. The guy was glad to be, I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt the love of the Lord. But whatever it was I was feeling, the guy didn't get healed. Let's just call it like it is. And I'm there with Obi-Wan. You know, I'm in there with the master, you know, the Dave himself. But what this is saying, this isn't talking to ministers. These prophecies, these are to Joel's army. This is to you. This is to me. This is to each and every one of us. So I will read this in Jesus' name. I have called you to go from house to house. And see, and as soon as I read that, I saw that house. I remembered that place. When you enter a room, it should light up. When you enter a place, no matter the chaos, not even if it's like, I don't care if she's laying in there dead, like Jairus's, okay? Do not become part of the chaos, okay? See, right now, with the coronavirus thing going around, if you're not careful, you'll become part of the chaos. You'll become part of the worry. Now, I'm not saying don't use precaution. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to spray with Lysol. I'm going to use Clorox wipes. But I am not going to operate in fear. And if the Lord tells me to go take groceries to somebody or do anything, and bless God, I'm going to do that. And not be in fear. We're going to look at some scripture on that tonight before we get out of here. But we are not to become part of the chaos. Jesus didn't become, he didn't start tumulting with them, did he? He didn't start getting into any of the chaos. He says, do not become part of the chaos. Do not become part of the confusion. Listen, you've got to have a foundation in you on the Word of God. Now, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm coming to a place, how do I say this? It's not impatience, really. As a teacher, my job is to give you an answer from the Word. Now, when I give you that answer, it's not up for debate. I'm not interested in your opinion or your pastor's opinion. You understand what I'm saying? Twice this week, somebody asked me a question. I gave them what the Word said. It's not an opinion. You don't want my opinion. My opinion doesn't amount to nothing. This is what the Word says. Okay? I'm interested in his opinion. His opinion is truth. And both times, it's not like they got in my face, rejected it, but they did. Because they started side trailing. Well, but what about this and that and the other? No. You and I are done. I have people that want to learn. See how quiet it is? We're coming into the end times. You need a foundation unto you that is the Word of God. You need, I'm so glad in my life, there's not nearly as many questions as there used to be. I was full of questions when we first walked through the door here. Well, what about this and what about that? Well, their heart is good, so it doesn't matter that they're sleeping together. You know, their heart is, no, they're going to hell if they don't repent of that. See, that's what the Word says. Yeah, but it's my kids. It's still what the Word says. And if they don't repent, they're going to hell. People, they don't, see, once that's settled in you, it's settled in you. And you can tell them in love, you know, I love you, you're going to hell. I'm trying to rescue you. See, if I know somebody's about to walk off a cliff, they can't, if they're blind, if my friend Homer is blind right now, if I see him walking to the edge of a cliff and I don't do anything to stop him, do I love him? Okay, Homer, have a good trip. And he goes off the edge of the cliff. No, that's not love. Love speaks the truth. See, we're in a season right now where you need to get your feet on the solid rock. We're going to look at some of that tonight. And I'm preaching to myself as much to anybody. But, Okay. What y'all don't know what's going on the inside is going, read it again. Read it again. So I'm going to start right there. I've called you to go from house to house, from place to place, and when you enter a room, it should light up. When you enter a place, no matter what the chaos, boy, I like how that's worded, no matter what the chaos, do not become part of the chaos. Do not become part of the confusion. Know this, here it is, that you have an answer for everything. Saith the Spirit of grace. Now see, right now, I go right back to that room. Here's Dave and I. We spent about an hour there with that fella. I know Dave did everything. I know I was just trying. I was real quiet. I didn't say much of anything. Hello, this is Pastor Dave. And then you shut up. Okay. You know. But my faith was activated. I was believing with all that I knew how. Dave would say I was milking every fiber, every cell of my being for faith. And I know Dave was doing the same thing. Dave shared the Word. Dave prayed. Dave laid hands on. And seemingly, we did not have the answer. Well, seemingly has to die in us. Because the foundation is, you have an answer for everything. Parkinson's, coronavirus, cancer. You have an answer for everything. And it says the Spirit of grace. And even when you do not believe in your natural mind that you have an answer, you have an answer for everything inside of you. Because the one that created all things dwells inside of you. What would you do different? I'm not exactly sure. I'm learning. In fact, he said the answer is in the next paragraph, so let's read the next paragraph. Be a problem solver everywhere you go. Walk into chaotic situations, now get it, and solve it with an anointing. Let's make a confession. I solve every problem with the anointing. I solve every problem with the anointing that breaks the yoke. Problems in my own life and problems in the lives wherever I go. I break the anointing. No, has it said? I solve every problem with an anointing that breaks the yoke. Okay. So he says, you have one of two choices to make. See, he's doing the same thing that I was saying. You have choose. You have one of two choices to make. He said the first will always be that of the senses. Well, our senses was telling us, because the guy was still shaking, he's not healed. Okay? Every situation cries out to employ your natural senses. Every part of your day and every part of any situation and circumstance that you come into with others in this life, the first answer or the first employment will be to come at your senses and employ your natural senses. But I am testifying to you has the Spirit of truth. Boy, now this is serious. Divert yourself. Step back from the natural. Go into the Spirit and realize that you are first my son, my daughter, empowered with answers. Empowered with grace and empowered even just to stand in chaotic situations and exude an anointing that breaks the yoke. Say, in every situation, I step back from my natural mind. And I realize first, I am a child of God. I am empowered with answers. I am empowered with grace. I am empowered to stand in chaotic situations. And an anointing exudes from me that breaks the yoke. So I'm thinking, since he said the answer is in that next paragraph, we should have stayed there and probably started just worshiping God, praising God. Stand there and let that anointing continue to flow until that man, till the healing manifested. I'll know more about it later. I'm walking this path with you, but I'm tired of walking away and saying it didn't work when he says it will work. I remember a situation of years ago. Kenneth Hagin's old message, isn't he? He prayed, he cast out in Jesus' name, and the devil didn't leave. It was during a service, and the devil wouldn't leave. He had discerning of spirits, he could see that devil at that moment. Yeah. See, discerning of spirits is not necessarily the gift of suspicion. I discerned that might not be, anyway. I discerned that would be crazy. No, that's not exactly it. You know. It's discerning. You actually see. And so in this time, he saw that spirit and it didn't leave when he commanded it to. And so he sent the guy back and kept going down the line. And the Lord was talking with him and I hope I have all the details. I have the essence of this correct. I haven't heard it in a long time. And the Lord started talking with him. He said, I told you to cast that devil out. He said, well, Lord, I cast it out and it didn't leave. He said, but I said it would leave. But Lord, I used your name and I cast it out and it didn't leave. And the Lord said, I told you it would leave. But Lord, I cast it out in your name and it didn't leave. And this time it was in a different tone. I said it would leave. Hagin calls the guy back up. Hey, come back up here. If I remember right, he cast it out again, this time with a little more something, faith, I'm sure it was. Anyway, the devil came out. See, Jesus believes his word. When he says, you cast it out in my name, you cast it out, it's going to go. See, we've got to come to that place. That's why he keeps having us go over these prophecies again and again and again. I am absolutely convinced this is the word of God. It is his spoon-fed instruction to us during this season to go from where we are to the revival he wants us to be in. So when he says, basically he's saying right there, don't take no for an answer. If you don't see anything, you stand there and let that anointing keep flowing out of you until you do see something. What if that's 4 days? Be okay if the guy got healed, wouldn't it? All I know is what he's saying. Okay, back to Mark 1. This is the other part of part 2 from this morning. Mark chapter 1. No wonder he had me read the book of Mark again. And this is where Jesus deals with the leper. Just in case you weren't here this morning, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, when is the kingdom of God at hand? Immediately, while he yet speaks. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, there it is. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. I believe that we're coming to the place, like with the man with the, what's that word again? Parkinson's disease. When we speak, immediately the Parkinson's will depart. If I don't see it depart, I ain't leaving till it do depart. Stand there with an anointing. Peter, that anointing so exuded from him. Exuded just means it's like radiating out. That anointing so exuded from him, if you got within shadow length, you got healed. Holy cannoli. I don't know if that's okay in church or not, but I said it anyway. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I keep meditating on this, because this is such a departure from Old Covenant to New Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, because of who they were, they're not born again. They're just, as Dave would say, flesh creatures that's trying to love God. Totally susceptible. God gave them strict hygiene, strict instructions about how to deal with the leper. They had to be isolated and all of these different, and it was a horrible disease. It was much worse then than it is today. What they call Hansen's disease today is not anything like, not nearly as bad as what was called leprosy then. Just read history, you'll find out. But it was really, really bad. And the leper, I mean, you couldn't come, and what this guy did here is illegal. It's not illegal to approach a rabbi, to approach anybody in public, if you're a leper. But here he comes approaching Jesus, and I run this movie in my meditator so often, I know the 12 backed off when they saw the leper coming. Now Jesus is sitting there. Here comes a leper, and he ain't stopping. He's supposed to stop. He's supposed to be shouting ahead of time to warn people, I'm a leper, unclean, unclean, right? I'm sure they backed off because he wasn't stopping. He's still coming, but Jesus didn't back off. And look at what Jesus allows the man to come within arm reach, has a conversation with the guy. That's illegal. And the guy had that question. This is how I grew up. I know you could. I just don't know if you will. Well, that's why in the church I grew up in, every prayer for anybody was always, if it be thy will. Well, Jesus answered that for us once and for all right here. I will. And I'm trying to meditate on this, and the 12 are watching this from a distance. I don't know how far, but they backed off. But they watch Jesus. They see that hand start to come up. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do that. And who knows how bad this leper was? I don't know if he had a nose. Your appendages would rot off. Fingers and ears and nose and stench was just in them. And sometimes even it could be like goo. I mean, really, it could be really your flesh. Just, it's terrible. And they see Jesus start, I will. And they see that hand start. I bet, like Dave would say, their eyes got as big as sewer lids. You know, he's not going to. He's not. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He touches him. Can you allow him? He put his hand in the goo. You talk about no fear. Now see, right now, we just got a text from Jim Martin right before the service. The governor of Ohio has made a decree that every bar and every restaurant in Ohio closes tonight at 9 and will remain closed until told otherwise. Can you imagine? Every restaurant closed? The people out of work? I mean, the fear is just going through the roof on this thing. But I want you to notice the lack of fear with Jesus. And see, this goes right along. Step back. Realize first, you are my son. You are my daughter. You're the one that exudes the anointing. See, let me put it this way. Jesus was not afraid of the leprosy. If you'll allow me, the leprosy was afraid of Jesus. We've got to reverse our thinking. You are a threat to every sickness you ever come up against. You're the threat. You're the one with power. You're the one with the anointing. John G. Lake had this 100 years ago, and that's how they could handle those bubonic plague victims. He knew that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He knew that God was not only in his spirit, God was in his soul, and God was in his body. And he says, if you put those germs on my body, they'll die instantly because of the life of God in me. That is where we're, I keep saying going. And in a way we are. We're possessing this land by doing what he's told us to do. But that same, John G. Lake did not have a different law of life in Christ Jesus than what we have. We've got the same law of life. And we cannot be in fear. Okay? All right. Oh. So the contrast under the old covenant, Jesus should have run like a scalded dog when that leper was coming. They were supposed to avoid them. But notice a complete turnaround. I know who I am. I'm the one here with, it goes right along with everything we read. I'm the one here with the answer. I have the anointing for this very purpose, to break the yoke of sickness that's in that guy. See, instead of us going, oh God, I might get corona. Yeah. You don't need to be really afraid of corona. Corona needs to be afraid of you. We've got to get there. That's where revival lives. Now, I am not saying do not use precaution at this stage, because I started off this morning's message. Sue and I have an absolute standard answer for anybody that ever asks us. Brother Gary, Brother Sue, Brother Gary, Sister Sue. Trust me, that's a sister right there. Anyway, she's a girl. Anyway, Brother Gary, Sister Sue, do you think I should keep taking my medicine? We don't have to pray about it. Absolute yes, because if you have to ask, we know you're not there. You're not there yet. You need to work on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do believe. Well, that's what he's doing with us with all of these prophecies and the corporate prayer and everything that we're doing right now. But it doesn't hurt to see the end result. The end result is Jesus. You think Jesus would be afraid of the coronavirus? Come on. He's not afraid of it at all. And him in us is not afraid of it at all. Psalm 91. This is the only thing he spoke to me before I left the house. I knew this was coming. And I had Psalms in my Bible yesterday. Oh, here they are. Psalms 91. Say, well, that's old covenant. God is God. God does not change. We change. God does not change. This is prophetic to us as much to anybody that ever walked in it under the old covenant. And the secret is right in the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, let me just ask you a little question. If you could get healed under Peter's shadow, what do you think under God's? I think I'm pretty safe if his shadow, see, is, if I'm walking in his shadow, you know, guess what? I'm walking with him. You got that? That secret place, that's all nine prophecies. That's come away with me. Spend time with me. Come away, my beloved. In every way imaginable, he's wooing us and calling us and saying, spend that time with me. That is the secret place of the Most High. When you spend that time with him and you and him become intimate, you share with him, he shares with you, and you become one in a way that you weren't before. See? But he that dwells lives there, not just Wednesday from 4 to 10, Friday noon to 10, you know, he that dwells, lives there, shall abide, and again, abide, live, under the shadow of the Almighty. Now I will say of the Lord, and I'd like to walk around with a microphone invisible. See what you're saying. Somebody went, no. This is what I'm going to say. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. See, I don't care. See, This is an attack of the devil. He'll deliver me. I don't care. How about, and from the noise and pestilence? You can't find anything else on TV right now. Channel, coronavirus channel, coronavirus channel, coronavirus channel, fear of coronavirus channel, stores empty of everything channel. Somebody sent a cute picture a while ago. You know these claw machines in the stores where you can, you know, you play the game and you get a toy? This one was full of toilet paper. At least make them work for it. Anyway. And pay their money. That was cute. Okay. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Oh, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth. This is what I meant earlier. We gotta quit waffling around. Okay, I'm gonna give you just an example. Somebody this week told me about three different prophets that prophesied to this lady a certain thing would happen. And after years, the opposite happened. And it's irreversible. It's not going to happen now. She said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Well, those are false prophecies." She, you know, they're false. And you ought to see and if you're watching this, I love you. I'm trying to help you, but stop it. The word is the word. And you go back to the Old Testament, he says, if a prophet says a thing that comes to pass, that was me. If he says a thing that doesn't come to pass, he spoke out of his own mind. He didn't hear from me. So I'm not saying that those three people don't love God, and maybe she was telling me about their big ministries and they're trusted. And I said, well, I don't care about, what does that got to do with what they told you was false? I wouldn't listen to them anymore. You know? See, you're going to have to get your feet on something solid. Not always, well, what if and what if. I got somebody else something this week. Gave it just a direct answer. It's absolutely the truth. Well, I'm done. I got people that want to learn. You know? So, okay, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I keep saying that, but I'm really not. Because see, look at it. His truth. Have y'all noticed God doesn't mince words? His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Boy, you better have that shield. When Jesus was being attacked in the wilderness, here comes all the fiery darts. Zzz, 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 coming through the air, fiery darts. He had his shield, and guess what it was? God's truth. It is written. It is written. It is written. He wasn't waffling around on maybe the word means this and maybe it just means what it says in context. That's what it means. Okay. Now, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. How about this one? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, I don't care if 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. That is the foundation. Put your feet on that. Abide in the secret place of the Most High. Stay in His shadow. Do what He's calling us to do. And I don't care if next time you turn on the TV, we got 1,000 deaths in Tulsa, Oklahoma from coronavirus. It shall not come near me. That's what the word says. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. But because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He is where you live. This intimacy, you and Him. There shall no evil befall thee. How about this one? Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And if that's not enough, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Let's see now. Coronavirus, angel. Attack of the devil, angel. I wonder who has more strength. And by the way, there be more with us than be with him. Like that time that from Daniel's life when that one angel couldn't make it through, he got other angels to help him. You got angels working on your behalf. Come on. We don't need to be afraid. We're the ones with the answer. We're the ones with the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. All he's really saying, you're not going to trip. That's a real good... He's not talking about jumping off the pinnacle like the devil said. You're not going to trip and fall. You're not going to even accidentally. If you're spending your time spending it in the secret place of the Most High, the angels are there to keep you from tripping over something. Even accidentally is what he's talking about. You're not going to stumble over a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Remember Jesus? Behold, I give you power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall harm you. You shall tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It's almost like he was quoting from right here. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You're the one with the anointing here. Because he hath set his love. Now here's God talking. Because he, that's you, hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now that's a promise from God. Do you love him? Have you set your love on him? He says, I will deliver you. Boy. I will set you on high because you have known my name. God saying, he that you shall call upon me and I will answer him. Whew. How about this? I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life. Now see, at age 73, this means more to me than it did at 33. I'm just getting started. I've got a long ways to go. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Boy, I would live in this psalm right here. I would live in this. One more. Let's do one more. You're so familiar, but look at Psalms 23. This is the word of God, and it so applies to us right in conjunction with these prophecies. See, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, he is my shepherd. Yeah, but they're out of toilet paper. I shall not want. I don't care if an angel has to drop off toilet paper on my front porch. I shall not want. Isn't that what it says? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, boy, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Seems like we're talking about shadows a lot. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the dreaded coronavirus, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, right in the middle of all of this, thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God. There's no reason to fear. We're the ones with the answer. I'm going to read this one more time. I'm trying to quit. I really am. See, I want to just read the whole thing. But read this whole thing. Be a problem solver everywhere you go. walk into chaotic situations and solve it. Boy, that sounds like our Jesus. When he sent them out, he did not say, pray for the sick. Heal the sick. That sounds like solve it. And he told them to cleanse the leper. It's one thing for them to watch him do it. But now he's sending them out to do the same thing. You want us to touch the leper? Yeah, and don't be afraid when you do it. You're the one with the anointing. Whew. It's good stuff. Walk into chaotic situations and solve it with an anointing that breaks the yoke. That is who we are. So I'm going to recommend again to you the times, the prayer times this week. Y'all know them. I'm preaching to the choir. The ones that I preach to on Sunday nights are the ones that show up for prayer. And the ones that aren't is because they live too far away. And we know that. We understand that. But, man, I plan on staying in there. I'm so excited. We had some people that came today that we hadn't seen in 5 years, maybe 10 years. Been a long time. And just love them to pieces. And afterwards, they come up to tell me, they said, Gary, you look younger than the last time we saw you. I said, your color is better than the last time we saw you. I said, I believe that. I said, I feel better at 73 in many ways than I did at 53. And that's when I was traveling over to Africa. But I feel better today in many ways. But I said, you ain't seen nothing yet, because he's just now teaching me some stuff about fasting I never knew before. And I found out fasting will do. Now, you can't totally reverse the aging process, but I found out some stuff that's just really good. You'll be getting it all soon, but I'm still processing. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So getting younger. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I will say this. And I think Jim did it first at his website, because we have an admonition through the Apostle Peter to obey every law of man. And Jim says, now, so far in Ohio, they have not banned religious groups from meeting together in large, in certain numbers. But Jim says, if they do, we're going to obey that, because the Bible says obey every law of man. But what doesn't mean we're going to quit. We'll just be streaming every service, and you can watch it at home. And he also said, by the way, you can also give from home. But anyway, well, what normally happens, you cancel a service and that offering does not get made up normally. It really doesn't. All right.